Well, hello to you all at Encounter Baptist Church. So good to be with you today and good to be sharing this message with you wherever you are. My name's Andrew Hill and I work with the BUV as part of the Mission Catalyst team. And my role involves heading up BUV's new microchurch network. And if you're wondering what a microchurch is, well, it's simply defined as an intentionally simple, streamlined approach to church. That's often small, volunteer-led and informal in style. And typically, these types of spiritual communities involve roughly between five and 40 people. And they meet regularly for the purpose of worship, building and growing people, that is community, and of course, reaching people who don't know Jesus. And they're one of the most important aspects of church life. But microchurches have at their heart a willingness to multiply leaders and communities. And that's what sets them apart from many other types of churches. But more important than what I do and where I'm working, I'm married to Leanne. Together we've been married 30 years and we have three adult children, Em, Steph and Josh. Josh is actually getting married in October, COVID willing. And this year we also had our first grandchild in March and we also have another one due in November, which is extremely exciting. But I trust you're all surviving lockdown. I know lockdowns can be pretty frustrating. And to a large extent, what we're going through is out of our control, and that breeds frustration, you know, because we've got these government regulations to abide by and we're still in the midst of a pandemic. But while it almost seems inevitable that we're going to have to continue to press the pause button in these different moments, many things are outside of our control. But I think the thing that we need to remember that is within our control is that we need to keep focused on what God has called us to do and be. And so with that in mind, I want us to explore a particular passage today where God was asking his people to keep focused on what was ahead of them, to keep moving forward, even though circumstances had changed and maybe the people were uncertain and maybe even a little fearful of what lay ahead. And so in Joshua chapter 1, where I want us to focus our attention this morning, the Bible says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, or the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, what we have to understand right from the outset from this amazing passage of scripture is that here God is talking to Joshua. Now, we don't know why he does this, but it is an extremely significant time in Joshua's history. I think we can all imagine what's going through Joshua's mind. Maybe doubt, maybe fear, uncertainty, because now he has to lead and God knows this, and so he starts reassuring him that he can do this. And so it's like God sits Joshua down and says, mate, you've got to get yourself together here. I'm relying on you. Moses is no longer going to lead. He's not coming back. He's gone. It's time for you to step up, for you to take over, to carry on the mission and to do what needs to be done. But then God says two little words to focus Joshua. He says, now then. In other words, mate, now then, it's time to pay attention. It's time to get on with it. Time to look forward. And then God tells him what to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to hear God tell me what to do in order to move forward at times when you might be full of doubt, uncertain of what to do next, maybe fearful of what lies ahead. How many of us would love to hear God clearly speak to us and say, now then, because of this or because of that, here's what you need to do. Well, that's exactly what happens here with Joshua. And I know it isn't written here, but you can almost hear Joshua saying these words. There are so many things outside of my control, God. I mean, there are so many people with so many opinions. You know, there are people who will be comparing me to Moses. And what will happen as we face the armies of the lands we enter? Is our army even big enough? And then there's the fact we don't have enough food or, you know, to feed everyone, or even a map to use to get from here to where we're supposed to be going. And the list could go on and on and on. But then in the next section of this passage, we see God telling Joshua, in fact, we hear him reassuring Joshua of what he needs to do next. You do what's within your control, and I will do the rest, says God. And so then he makes some pretty substantial promises to Joshua about what he will do. As he makes these I will statements, he says, I will give you what I promised. I will be with you in what you face, and I will never forsake you in your time of need. Now, maybe there are some of us here today that need to hear those words. Whatever circumstances you're going through today, these I will statements, these promises, are for you. I will give you what I promised, says God. I will be with you in what you face, and I will never forsake you in your time of need. You know, God is true to his promises. He's with us in what we face. He will never forsake us in our time of need. We need to hear that again and again. But then God turns the conversation from talking about what he will do to what Joshua needs to do. And he reiterates it three times as he says, be strong and courageous. And so while Joshua might be thinking, but there are so many things outside of my control, here God tells him to focus on what is within his control. And that is to be strong and courageous. Now what's really interesting here is he doesn't say be obedient and submissive. He doesn't say be willing and trusting. And he doesn't even say be attentive and quick to listen. He says be strong and courageous. But what I have to ask here is, what does it mean to be strong? I mean, what comes to mind when you hear that phrase? Maybe what immediately comes to mind is that whole idea of physical strength. You know, being muscular, well-built, maybe powerfully built. Like what we see in, you know, people who play sport, you know, for a living. They're tough, they're athletic. But I think there's more to it than that. Maybe being strong has more to do with mental strength, being determined, spirited, dynamic. Maybe it's about mental toughness or being zealous, resolute, or strong-minded. And this is the sort of thing we saw in the Olympics a couple of weeks ago, when people were in, you know, swimming, and then a swimmer digs deep and finds something to come from behind and win. See, I don't think it's just about physical strength. It's also about that mental toughness, not to give up and keep pushing forward. But maybe there's also another level. Maybe there's the inner strength. Maybe it's a heart thing. You know, being enthusiastic, loyal, passionate, fierce, having that deep-seated conviction about something, like a belief in a cause. And so when God says to Joshua, be strong, I don't think he's talking about physical strength at all. Rather, it's about being strong of heart and mind. Being determined, resolute, digging deep when the going gets tough, and having that deep-seated conviction of getting done what needs to be done. And here's the thing. God has given Joshua a mission, something incredibly significant to do, and the fulfillment of this mission is going to take him to be strong of mind, to dig deep when the going gets tough, and be strong of heart, passionate, and to keep the belief in the cause for which he was called. But along with being strong, he also says, be courageous. Be brave, valiant, bold, undaunted, unafraid, unshrinking, daring. Now, we know many of us don't necessarily feel that way during this season of COVID. But when things aren't going the way I thought they would, maybe we get sent into lockdown again, maybe things don't go our way in a particular situation, maybe things don't work out the way they expected, it's actually easier to shrink back than to be courageous or even daring. You know, it was July 1969. What happened in July 1969? Well, man was about to land and walk on the moon. And an Australian team based at the Parkes Radio Telescope installation were in partnership with NASA to track the Apollo 11 mission and assist with the broadcasting of the pictures of the moonwalk back to Earth. And I was watching the movie The Dish the other week, and in this movie they tell this story really, really well and quite dramatically. But there comes to a point in the story where the weather in Parkes that day was, although fine, it was incredibly windy. And The Dish, as the radio telescope was affectionately known, was only rated to winds blowing to 30 knots. And the wind was actually blowing between 50 and 60 knots. And so it looked like The Dish would have to be stowed. After all, there was a safety issue. There were 5 lives at stake. And if the wind caught The Dish in the wrong direction, it would all come crashing to the ground and the equipment and millions of dollars would be wasted. Let alone, of course, the fact that 5 lives would be lost. Well, as a result of much discussion, one of the team at The Dish said this. He said, "This is science's time to be daring. A time to do something not done before. Do something out of the ordinary." Sure, they could have stowed The Dish and played it safe, as circumstances they faced were well outside of their control. And so they could have legitimately chosen to shrink back, stow The Dish, and sit and watch history pass them by. But instead, they decided to be daring. They decided to take the risk. And this is exactly God's encouragement to Joshua as he spoke to him that day. And I think it's also God's encouragement to us today in the situations that we face. To be strong of heart and mind, focused on the mission before us, and be courageous, be daring. I know the circumstances we find ourselves in aren't the greatest, and or maybe the most idyllic conditions. Maybe there are things going on outside of our control. There certainly are at the moment. But maybe that's exactly when God would say to us, be strong and courageous. I think God would say to us as a church, this is not the time to shrink back. This is the church's time to be daring. I think God would say to families this year, it's time to be daring. I think he would say to individuals this year, be strong and be daring. But what about you? I wonder what it would mean for you to be strong and courageous. What would it mean to be maybe daring in your friendships or even with your family or even your relationship with God this year? You know, as I think about being daring, maybe that's about telling someone about dreams or hopes that you've never told anyone about. Or maybe it's about stepping forward in a business opportunity. Maybe it's being daring in a relationship that needs some time invested to bring healing to it. Or maybe being daring is actually taking some steps to deal with some pain or hurt in your own life that you've been shoving down over a number of years and maybe refusing to deal with. Or maybe it's being daring enough to pursue some counselling and deal with something from your past. For others, maybe it's being daring enough to share your belief with Jesus, in Jesus, with friends, family and neighbours. Or maybe even invest time in your neighbourhood on some sort of mission activity. Do what you're called to do within your neighbourhood. You know, there are so many ways that we can actually be daring. But I want to remind you of those words from Joshua 1, chapter 9. He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." You know, as we look at these different passages of Scripture today, I think God's word to us would be, Be strong and courageous, because I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am with you wherever you go and in whatever circumstances you find yourselves in. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for Encounter Baptist Church. I want to thank you for every person who's listening to this message, wherever they are. And Father, I pray for them today that they would indeed hear your words to them, to be strong and courageous, even though there are things going on outside of our control. Lord God, I pray that they would continue to remember that you have given them something that is within their control. You've given them a mission to carry out. You've given them a task. You've given them something that is way beyond what we maybe even find ourselves in our current circumstance. And that is, Lord God, the mission that you have for each one of us. And Father, I pray today that we would not be afraid, that we would not be discouraged, because you are with us. And so, Father, I pray over each one of these people that they would indeed be strong and courageous, be daring, be bold enough to do what you are calling us to do, knowing that you are with us wherever we go. And I thank you for each one of these people in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.